In later life, Chanel liked to say her fortune was built on an old jersey jumper borrowed from Boy that she had customised by snipping through the front to create a knitted cardigan. Her innovation lay not only in borrowing from menswear, but using new materials, such as knitwear, but also in a new approach to fashion as a business. The previous generation of designers had done all they could to protect their unique designs from illegal copying, which was a very lucrative business. Authors restricted public access to fashion shows, resisted press photos, and sued illegal copyists. Chanel had a completely different approach. She simply decided not to fight against copying, but to make it a profitable part of the fashion business. If Ford cars can be produced on the assembly line, why not reproduce the design for a decent remuneration? The biggest market at the time was America. Customers craved novelties of Parisian fashion, but import duties made it more expensive to import French originals from Europe, so Chanel began officially offering her patterns and models for copying and production in the United States. This dress is made from Chanel's fashion house pattern and is a testament to her bold and innovative business approach. This was no small business. In the 1930s, the Chanel fashion house employed 4,000 people who produced up to 28,000 pieces of clothing per year. In the 1930s, longer, more feminine dresses returned to fashion. The bias cut became a distinctive feature, allowing for clothes that emphasized the natural curves of the body. Evening dresses favored beautifully draped, flowing fabrics with a shiny surface. We owe this preference to Hollywood cinema, which was black and white. On the black and white screen, movie divas like Greta Garbo or Marlene Dietrich looked especially spectacular in shiny gowns that emphasized their ideal forms.